I'm not ready, I'm ready, I'm not ready, I'm ready. So, whatever. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Pizza Hut!
Did you just say Pizza Hut? Alright. 5, 4, 3. Yeah,
well, hold on. The raccoon is stealing my garbage. I gotta run outside.
A what is stealing his garbage?
A raccoon.
What?
The DK and Kara Show!
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the DK and Kara Show. I'm DK, and I'm joined once again by my usual co-host, Hugo Vanderwalk. And today we also have special guests, Ryan White, a.k.a. Goose.
Happy Canada Day.
And rounding us off, we also have Jimbo Barrett.
This game's winner is Ganondorf. Hot Nut Pizza Hut!
Okay, guys, so all right, let's just get right on into it.
I just spilled all my coffee. Fuck me. I can't do this shit. Okay, go on, DK. I'm so sorry, guys. I don't know. I just can't stop laughing somehow. All right. Man the fuck up, Kara. Let's do this.
Let's go.
All right, let's just go straight into these matches that we had last week. Guys, for the first time, we have seen some Twitch action really showing to be a decisive factor in matches. First, we had me versus Edine. I'm going to be quick about this one. I know anyone from the other side of the ocean is going to be a hard-fought one for me, so there's not much to say other than good game. Having that said, let's move on to a way more interesting match. As we discussed some episodes earlier, we thought that Twitch would have a fresh impact on matches this year, but I honestly never believed it would make a win as convincing as this one. In an all-American showdown, resulting into DK literally obliviating Mattis 34-5. Jimbo, you being our American expert here and the elite archive with a beating heart, apart from Twitch going to DK 17-1. What happened here and why?
Adam disappeared. That's obvious. Apart from Virginia, he doesn't post on the boards. He doesn't play the games. He never chats. In fact, it was just maybe a couple of weeks ago he made his first appearance in our AIM chat, probably the first time in, I want to say, over a year. Besides that, DK is clearly one of the most popular guys in this contest this year. He's constantly a front runner. The Virginia vote backed him hardcore here. A lot of us look up to DK as kind of a mentor and the godfather of implementing Twitch. I mean, you three guys right here are probably the big three on Twitch, but DK helps a lot with some of the technical aspects of it. I know every time I've had problems with XSplit, DK has always given me his time to help, and that kind of friendliness got a lot of votes. He's helped a lot of new people, and as can be seen by the new school and the newest school, he got 17-0.
Yeah, that's so ridiculous.
That's monumental.
But even though we're talking about Mattis here, who was a semi-finalist in 2011, I mean, how hard can you fall from grace?
As hard as Henning can in just a couple of months. As hard as PYL. Clearly, the elite has a short memory. Like, I will always maintain my status as this contest being a what have you done for me lately type thing, and Mattis has done nothing. So that's that, and DK continues to always help everybody out with the new wave of Twitch, and that's what got him this kind of a monumental win.
Yeah, so Goose, is anyone going to threaten DK in the block which he is in after this convincing win? What do you think?
Well, you know, like they say, the Pacific has no memory. The Elite also has little to no memory, it seems. You know, I predicted last week that Mattis would actually beat DK, if we recall. I guess I was wrong there.
Close enough, though.
It was close. I almost had it. Just if 15 people change their mind. I mean, obviously DK versus Kara is going to be tight. The reason I think DK won so easily was because he has the Virginia votes, which helps, but also he has the new schoolers. As we saw, he won 17-0. I think that's because of his help with Twitch. He helps a lot of the new people get set up on Twitch. And, you know, people at least know who he is and that he played Perfect Dark. People don't really feel the same about Matus. I would say Kara DK is going to be close. DK probably has the edge because of Virginia, but then when he meets the winner of the Australians, Neo and YE, you know, they both went been to Australia. I mean, sorry, they've both been to Virginia. So you really...
Close enough.
It's really close enough again. It's really hard to tell that DK has that much of an advantage over either Neo or YE because they're going to get the Virginia votes as well.
If there's anything I want to say about my match with DK, I really don't like talking about matches which I'm in. But to me, I think DK is a Edeen times 10. Which you're gonna have to take it up against then. it's gonna be slaughter time. That's what I think.
I don't know about slaughter time. Like Kara, last year, I still can't explain our match we had and why you got so little votes. I know you only got 11 versus me, which I think was a complete fluke. You might be a pessimistic one, but I think it would be much closer than that. If anything, I would give DK a 59-60% line, whereas you might give him a 75% line.
Yeah, I actually would, but I'm not being pessimistic here. I'm trying to be realistic.
Well, I mean, if Jimbo says that you and DK are the same person, then quite clearly the only difference is DK's been to Virginia, so he's going to win by like 25 votes, if that's how most people view you two.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
I thought the match with Matus was going to be closer, so I don't really know what to say about my match with Kara. I'd be happy with any result because Kara's my buddy, obviously, and I'd love to see him do well, even if it mean that I would lose. But because I know, I mean, at least in past contests, Kara has been really strong, and there have been past years where like a matchup between us two would be like super, super close, too close to call. This year, people are giving me the edge, but I'd be happy with any result here.
Now, this actually brings me to a side question a bit. Goose, Jim, how much does the guy that beat you affect how you feel about losing a match?
Oh, I mean, big time. You know, the past 2 years, I think I've lost to... Okay, well, last year I was not really around, but in 2011 I lost to Axel Z. And I mean, you know, that... It's not the same. If I lost to DK, I'd be like, you know, that's whatever. What can I expect? He's DK. He's one of the most popular guys around. Always makes the semifinals or quarterfinals. You know, he's going to get the Virginia votes. But, like, I lost to Axel Z in 2011. I lost to Calm in 2010. And both times it's like, what the fuck? Like, how am I losing? I put so much more into the Elite than these people. Why are they beating me?
You go into
depression. You want to go live with Ilu and the monkeys and live off fruits in the trees for...
Goose is so right. Like, a prime example and probably my most heartbreaking loss was losing to QB in the finals in 2010. I lost 40-34. I could not figure out why, because I was just as social as him. I've been to just as many meets. I actually played the games, and I figured by that point I had made the full 180 and, you know, getting everybody's vote instead of all the Euro anti-votes, and I still lost by 6 votes, and it took me so long to figure out, like, what the fuck does QB have that I don't? I lost to him 2 years in a row. I lost to him for 8th place in 09 and for 1st place.
Yeah, I feel you, bro. I mean, my hardest loss was that year as well against QB, where I thought I would be strong, and then QB absolutely smashed me out of the contest. Like, I don't know, it was a 40-25 or something like that, ridiculous, and it took me a long time to figure it out as well. I actually never figured it out.
And last year, I lost to Clemens by 2 votes, and losing to the champion is fine. It took me a while to get over it. We're friends. We kept talking about it that whole 48 hours. When you factor in that I lost by 2 and the entire Minnesota meet, like the entire Minnesota guys all voted for Clemens, I felt, oh, that sucked. That was the worst.
Yeah.
I thought I could have split them, but then when I found out Boss and Cook both voted for Clemens, it kind of pissed me off for a while, and I didn't like any of them for a bit. God, it's just a tough contest to deal with at five times. And then I lost to Mark in 2011 in the second round, and I wanted to like flip tables, and I couldn't stand him. I could not talk to that dude for a while. So
wow. So that was your hardest loss, or was it?
I still think losing to QB that first year I made the finals in 2010 was harder, because I, to this day, don't understand how he's so popular or why he steamrolled everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Now that you didn't mention QB1, I'm kind of thinking, like, why the hell did QB win a contest?
I don't know.
No, that's a different question, Ryan. Hold that one for a second. So XLZ was your toughest loss. Confirm?
I mean, Calm was probably worse in 2010 because he's calm and me and him have a lot of history sometimes. You know, we can get along, we can hate each other. But Axel Z was kind of at a point in like, I'm sure you remember, I made a post saying, all right, I'm done with the Elite, and I actually left for a year.
Yes.
Losing to Axel Z wasn't necessarily the reason, but it was probably like the last straw. You know, I kind of was at a point where I needed to take a break anyways. But, you know, I just felt like I'm a better Gold Knight player than him. I usually win all the European votes. Surely I'm going to win the chat in the North America. Like, what the hell happened there?
DK, your toughest loss.
Oh, geez.
Oh, you lost to Jimbo in 2010. That was 28-37 for Jimbo. And then in 2011...
No, I was out early in 2011. Last year,
Yeah, 2011, you lost to Tyler, DK.
Yeah, that's... I'd say that's probably my toughest loss. I have nothing against third. Yeah, he's awesome. I guess never having a win against Jimbo, having faced him a couple times, that's...
Well, you better prepare for it, because I can really see a Jim Barrett versus DK final. Getting there this year. I can see it happen.
If that happened and I lost to Jimbo in the finals, then that would probably be my toughest loss in contest history.
Goose, what were you getting on when I said hold it for a little while?
I mean, I was really saying, like, how the hell did QB win the summer contest?
Well, fire away.
QB is probably one of the most longstanding and popular people in the Elite Aim Chat of all time. It seems like he's just always been there, and he always is there. And that was sort of an era of the summer contest where chat was just the dominant category. Had control of chat, then you were in good shape. And it was just, it was his year for it. Q is one of the all-time popular chatters, and it was just around that time when chat was that powerful.
Yeah. One chat to rule them all.
And that was when Infill won in 2009. Probably the same explanation why.
You know, sometimes I feel like there were just a couple of guys like Infill, QB, Illu, Clemens. You know, you knew that these guys were just lining up to win a contest eventually sometimes.
Yeah, I remember kind of having, now that you mention it, I do remember that kind of feeling about QB that year. But I mean, just looking back in retrospect, it just feels so out of place.
Yeah, but at the same time, back then, there was no stopping it. You know, you just knew or felt like it was going to happen.
Yeah, that was his year. If he didn't win it then, he would probably never win. Because, like you said, the power has shifted from AIM chat to Twitch chat, and he wouldn't have any power there.
That's a good point. I actually very much agree. If he didn't win that year, he probably would have never won.
I guess the big surprise, if we want to go on a little nostalgic trip here, is when Shade won it in 2005. Even then, Derek Clark was still in the contest. Like, Paragon was still popular. You know, there was a ton of guys from the old school that were, like, still going. Boss, Voter were still in, and somehow Shade beat them all. So, I mean, I still think Shade is way more of a question mark than QB ever would be.
Believe it or not, Shade is the only Eliter I've ever met.
I met the guy for 30 minutes in 2008 at Virginia, and I didn't have a clue who he was. He walked in, he's like, "Hey, Jimbo, how you doing?" I'm like, "Oh shit, who is this guy?" Like, I felt so terrible. That's how like out of touch with him I was. Oh well.
Yeah, Shade's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a pimp, man.
Absolutely.
Wasn't his nickname like the Big French Pimp?
I think I wrote him a fake speedrun wiki page that pretty much was summed up as Shade is a big pimp from Quebec.
Nice. All right, guys, moving on. We got the next match. That was Whiff taking down Dirk in a, well, good semi-close match, winning 21-15. As expected, Whiff won that match. But at the same time, Dirk showing some major improvement, getting 15 phones against an American. Now, I'd say that's a pretty good improvement, actually. Jim, do you think Dirk will ever get rid of the anti-votes?
No. I don't really have any specific reason why. It's him and Carl seem like, and Fanny too, just seem like guys who have forever etched their names into the minds of E-leaders as, hey, this guy's a dick. All I remember him for is being a bully to me on the boards or trolling me. Kind of like cum goes into that category too. So they'll hop on their voter page and regardless of who he's facing, they're going to vote that guy over Dirk. Because they're going to hold these five-year-old long-standing grudges.
Yeah. So do you believe that anti-voting in this match actually costed Dirk the match? I mean, we're talking about
three votes.
Three votes that could have tied it.
Yeah, I can see it. I can definitely make a case for it. Sure.
All right. If you look at the vote of the days, and I was surprised to see this, that one of the vote of the days is actually an anti-vote. that kind of surprises me because if you've actually interacted with Dirk over the past year, he's a lot different than he used to be. I mean, he still does all the troll posts on the boards and all that stuff, but Dirk also like hangs out a lot in Twitch chats all the time and has been surprisingly active in that respect. So I thought that he would get a lot of support from like the new school Twitch chatters.
I actually do believe that anti-voting costed Dirk the match here. I do believe that.
I think you're right in that probably 3 or 4 or 5 people anti-voted Dirk. But like, I don't think it's his fault. You know, he's really cleaned up his act. I think it's, you know, he's a cool, funny guy on the boards now. For the most part, he calls out or makes fun of people who deserve it. And he's usually right. So I think it's actually the fault of the people who still remember 5 years ago him spamming Hello Kitty Suicide Club banners everywhere.
Those banners, yes.
And Goose is right. I mean, I can verify this. I used to not be able to stand Dirk, but ever since Twitch came around, he's actually in my chat. We have reasonable conversations. He's interested in the games. He's watched me PR a few times. It's like he's a normal person, so I didn't anti-vote him. I happened to vote for Whiff because Whiff and I are like BFFs. But I mean, if Dirk was against almost anybody else, I probably would vote for him. Just saying. All right, assholes, move on.
All right, moving on. We have some more Twitch motivated wins. We got Alex winning against MG 23-11. And believe it or not, Alex took the Twitch block 16-2. That's 89%, guys. I'm actually beginning to believe here that whoever rules Twitch rules them all. Last week, we saw some matches where Twitch was pretty evenly divided, but it becomes all the more clear to me that our first predictions of the Twitch block are, well, coming true. What do you guys think?
I thought it was a pretty big victory. I thought it was bigger than I had expected because MGuy, you know, he's been to Virginia and Alex hasn't.
Sure, he has.
Alex has been to Virginia?
Alex went in 2012.
All right, so I think just taking my whole opinion. If that's true, then I think Twitch is... I still don't think this is a decisive win for Twitch because if he's been to Virginia, he gets those votes, you know?
Yeah, I think there are two big things here. One was that Alex happens to same fan base factor MGuy pretty hard among the GoldenEye voters. I think GoldenEye is where MGuy traditionally pulls a lot of his votes from. And Alex just frankly had a much bigger year in GoldenEye, what with going to Awesome Games Done Quick and going into Virginia and all that. And the second thing is that MGuy hasn't really had much presence on the boards in the past year. He's been in AIM chat a little bit, but he hasn't really been on the boards at all. Whereas Alex, I mean, Alex isn't that active, but he's been on the boards a little bit, talking a little bit about GoldenEye strategies and controversies and things like that. So I think those two factors kind of propelled Alex to a pretty commanding victory here. So I wasn't too surprised by this result, and I think this shows that Alex is going to be a pretty respectable contender in the contest going forward.
He's super smart and he's super good at what he does, and people got to see it. So I think it was a lot of them were admiration votes. Like, damn, that's Alex. That guy's cool. I'm totally voting.
Yeah. Alex has also supplied half of the top players in the Elite with their Japanese versions of GoldenEye.
Yep, so, I got one too.
So yeah. Basically, he bribed them all.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's interesting. All right, guys, I'm going to give the floor to DK to talk about the remaining matches of this week. DK, go ahead.
All right, so the next match that we had was Ryan Lockwood versus the lunar landing videographer, Adam Bozon.
Oh, yeah.
In this match, we had Lockwood winning 23-16. And it looks like this was actually another win in terms of the Twitch block. Lockwood took that 14-6. Other than that, I didn't really see any really convincing wins in any of the other categories. It looked like Lockwood's win was really due to Twitch this time. I think you would expect Lockwood to draw pretty heavily from the new school since he had that stint a while ago. Jimbo, what do you think about this match?
In my opinion, if I had to throw out a number, I would say about 10 votes went his way extra from Silo DLTK, and that number can be verified by the new school voters going 14-11. You're right. I think all of these new school people saw both accomplishments. They saw Lockwood play 200 hours of Silo Agent and get free entertainment the entire time, or they saw Bozon get Silo DLTK and all of us marvel over how great of an accomplishment it was. And I think for one contest match that Bozon is in, a lot of the new school is going to be more influenced by the greater accomplishment, which in this case is, of course, Silo DLTK. And the crux of this is that Adam Bozon said nothing in his video. The video was of subpar quality, and he doesn't really contribute in any other way. I think the 10-vote swing that I predicted was pretty close to true, and I think Goose would agree.
Yeah, I mean, realistically speaking here, if Bozon didn't beat Silo DLTK, he would have got maybe 2 or 3 votes from his friends. He wouldn't even have made the contest, for one. I think that's everyone agrees on that.
Yes.
And
I agree. I don't think Adam would have made the contest if he hadn't beaten Silo DLTK. So this would be a moot point.
Of course, but, you know, like, that clearly got him a ton of votes. Maybe even stole away some Virginia voters from Lockwood. Maybe Lockwood is a very strong contest player this year, and Silo DLTK was so good that it took votes away from even Lockwood.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard to say how strong Lockwood's going to be going forward, just because, you know, like Jimbo's been saying this whole time, it's what have you done for me lately, and we're in the heat of contest season and Lockwood has completely disappeared. I'm not really sure if this...
We even know if he's alive?
I have called Lockwood a few times and it goes straight to voicemail.
Oh, wow.
This guy is as MIA as it gets. No board posts, no PRs, no AIM, no Twitch, no calls, no texts, no nothing.
Here, I'm going to Google Ryan Lockwood obituary right now.
Oh my God, please.
But interestingly enough, some guy with the Twitch name Lockwood showed up in Jimbo's chat while he was playing Ocarina of Time the other day and started giving him advice, but it was all the wrong advice. Like, he told him to go to Kakariko Village when he was supposed to go find Rutu's letter at the bottom of Lake Hylia. So it was very strange.
Yeah, that probably wasn't the real Lockwood.
It wasn't him, no way.
Well, right. I'd say next one.
Okay, so moving on to the next match, it was one of the favorites to win the entire contest, Bad Boy Ace, going up against Glenn Stevens OD. And Ace ended up winning this by a pretty convincing margin, 25-14. And I think just looking at the newest school block kind of says it all. Ace won that 13-1. So I think a lot of the new GoldenEye players have a lot of respect for Ace, especially since he's been so active, setting so many world records this past year and climbing up to become GoldenEye champion. He's got that support from the new active GoldenEye players. Kara, you said on a past show that you thought that OD might be the biggest challenge that Ace would have in his entire block.
Yeah.
So what did you think about this match?
I think the result has thrown me a little bit, because what you just said, Ace got all these incredible world records and he did it all live on stream. You know, so many people from the Elite watched him getting all those sick times. And then you have Ace winning Twitch 12-6. Now, like we discussed with other matches, people won Twitch more convincingly than Ace actually did. So that has thrown me a little bit.
To be fair, a lot of Twitch voters are probably a lot of old school guys too. Like myself, I'm not saying who I voted for, but guys like maybe myself, Boss, Clemens, Alex, mostly the MN crew. A lot of these old school guys, we remember Glenn. We've met Glenn. Just because Ace streamed all of this stuff, which he gets mad respect for and mad props, we probably could have been swayed to vote OD just because we know how cool of a guy he is in real life. So obviously, we know all of these blocks intertwine with each other. Twitch, Ghost of Virginia, also old schoolers. What DK said originally, his very first point, is that the newest school went 13-1 to Ace. That says everything. Ignore Twitch.
Yeah, but you're not going to win the contest with only the support of newest school. I mean, he even lost Perfect Dark.
I think that this is the match that shows that Twitch is the strong voting force in the contest, not because of the 12-6 victory in that block. I think that is skewed because, you know, of who Endgamer entered into the Twitch block, a lot of them being maybe older guys who don't really stream or watch streams, nor the Perfect Dark, because most of the ancient guys who aren't really leaders, who have never really played, are usually put in the Perfect Dark. But Ace beat Glenn by 11 votes, 25-14. Glenn has been to Virginia. He's like the coolest dude around, and Ace still beat him that significantly. I think this is the match you can look at and say that being an active player and streaming and being popular is what is going to win you a lot of matches this contest.
All right, so the last match that we had, finishing up just the other night, was Carl Jobs versus Nate Stinson. And a lot of people thought that Carl would win this one pretty convincingly, especially considering he was a number one seed and Nate had to make it in out of the play-in versus Alec, even though he did dominate Alec in that play-in. But still, I think a lot of people were expecting Carl to win this match pretty easily, but the end result was actually pretty darn close. Carl only won by 2 votes, 20-18, and it looks like Twitch was actually the deciding factor in this match as well, with Carl taking that one 15-2, which...
What was the line on this match?
I think the line was Carl with upwards of 60%. And I think
70%, yeah.
It was 70%? Okay.
Wow. 68, so, yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of people expected Carl to just breeze through this match, but I mean, Stinson ended up getting a lot of support. Just looking at some of the blocks here, he split chat 9-9. Stinson actually won North America 14-13, and I think a lot of that's probably due to the Virginia vote. Stinson is a longtime staple at the Virginia meets, so obviously he's going to get a lot of support there. And somewhat surprisingly, Stinson did very well in the new school. He only lost new school 13-12 and newest school 8-7. I find that really surprising because I kind of equate the newest school with like the new, more active Goldeneye players, which Stinson also did well in Goldeneye, only lost that by 3. Jimbo, what did you think about this victory for Carl?
I have no idea. I honestly thought Carl was going to completely stomp whoever faced him, and in this case, it was Nate. I can't explain this one, because I thought Carl was pretty popular coming into this match. You pretty much took all the words out of my mouth. The Twitch vote being 15-2, that's pretty surprising.
I think Carl got this convincing Twitch win because he actually shared with us his insights on penis enlargements in the Twitch chat. We had a very nice conversation with a lot of people in there, and he told us everything about what's there to know about penis enlargement. Well, so I think that actually actually swung some votes his way, and I think that's what got him to win the match eventually.
I'm glad he was born with a very small penis.
I don't know. I didn't think Nate had that kind of popularity behind him, especially against a guy like Carl, because Carl was that cool new guy in Virginia last year, and he was one of the guys going for Bunker 2 Agent 23 when that was pretty popular. I don't know. This is the one match that's happened thus far in this contest that I just throw my hands up and I've got nothing. I don't know. And by all means, Nate could have brought this one into overtime. I guess I'll share my story real quick. When I clicked my voting booth just before first vote, I had noticed that the new match was up. I read one name. I read Carl. I did not read who the opponent was, and I immediately clicked his name, not even realizing he was up against Nate. And Nate knows that him and I are like best friends. So I voted Carl, and then like later in the day, I realized it was against Nate, but I figured he was just going to get steamrolled anyway, so I didn't bother going out of my way to try to change my vote. And then lo and behold, Nate loses by 2, me being a swing vote that should have been in Nate's favor. So this match could have easily gone 19-19 in overtime, and then Endgamer could have had his rig vote come in, and Nate could have pulled an upset that nobody would have saw coming. I'm sorry, Nate, if you listen to this.
He will.
He knows better. Jimbo. Him and I have talked about it.
All right.
In fairness, Jimbo, last year at the final, I was away from the Elite for a long time, and both you and Clemens asked me to vote, and I said, you know what, I don't want to vote. I'm not an Eliter anymore. So I told both of you the same thing. I didn't vote. And then just before the end of the contest, I was just like, why not? I'm going to cast my first vote all contest. And I voted for Clemens, and he won by 2 votes.
Oh, that sucks.
We should have invited Softman.
Why? Okay.
If we had him on and asked him what he thought about his match for 2 minutes and then kicked him out.
Okay, here's the deal, Ryan. I'm going to invite Softman, and then you do the work.
Okay.
Deal?
Deal. Deal.
Fuck. Okay, let's do this. Hey. Also, tell him we're live. Okay. Tell him, like, okay, we're live. We got 1 minute left. Tell him, yes? Okay. Are you ready for this, Ryan?
Yep.
All right, guys, coming right into the show right now. It's Softman. Here we go. Connecting 1, 2, 3. And there he is.
There's Softman.
Oh, God.
Oh, Softman,
you know what time it is? It's like 11 a.m.
Softman, we have 1 minute left in the podcast. We're wondering if you have any thoughts, anything you want to say about your match with Sean, a fan of the Rings Johnson.
Go!
He's a bitch. Nah, I'm joking. I love him. Okay, here's my prediction. I've been saying this for the last 24 hours. He's going to win, but I think it'll be under. I don't know, unless everyone's just decided to turn on me like the ravaged sack dogs they are.
How many votes do you think you're going to get?
I don't know. I'm thinking like 55%. I can't count. I don't know who will just abstain.
What is going to be the theme of the next Elite podcast?
Mega PRs, because I've had like 1,000 assignments due in about the next 2 days.
Who are you going to have as the guest?
I don't know yet. You know just as well as I do. That's just as ad hoc as it is. And yes, Runway 22 will be in, and all the PRs will be in.
All right. Yay! Time is running out, guys. Hurry.
That's all we got. This was guest appearance by Softman 25.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Softy. Time for you to close it off, DK.
All right, guys. That just about wraps it up for this edition of the DK and Kara Show. For everyone here at the show, I am DK, and we will see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
He's happy to go.
Smack.
The DK and Kara Show.
Oh, that was a good burp.
I've had way better. My PR is 29 seconds for a belch.
You can do a burp all the way runway.
Oh, hey, damn, that's okay.
That sounds like a new challenge. League coming up.
The burp league. I love it.